Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Ram Gold Aryan. Din Rezekas Bab Basra Daf Gimel. The first parak Hashu Tafin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Zeichen Nishmas Avram Ben Yitzchak. May his neshama have an aliyah and as a schus for Rufua Shlemer for Alter Ben Sion Wolf Ben Sipora. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Ravasi explained in the Gemara's second version that the partners divided a property k'she'im ba'din chaluka, which was not subject to legal division, meaning it was too small for either to demand a division, but they agreed to do so. The Gemara asked, Nedru Behu, but let them retract, since a mere verbal agreement to divide the chatzar is not binding. Rav Yochanan explained, Shekanim Yadin, they acquired from each other with a legal kinyan, meaning chalipin. The Gemara objects that it is a kinyan dvarim ba'alma, an acquisition of mere words, meaning an intangible commitment to divide the property, and so it clarifies, B'shekanu miyad meruchos. They acquired from each another the sides of the property which they would respectively own, and this acquisition is binding. Rav Ashi said, Kagon shehalach zeh betok shelo v'hichzik. The cases where this one went into his half of the chatzir and performed a kinyan chazaka, v'zeh betok shelo v'hichzik. And this other one went into his half and performed a kinyan chazaka. Pointing me to the Mishnah taught that a wall of gazis, plain stones, which is 4 amas tall, must be 5 tefachim wide. The Gemara wonders if this is the necessary ratio because the amatraxin, the wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kadashim in the first base of Mikdash, was 30 amos high, but only 6 tefachim wide. The Gemara answers that the extra tefach was enough to support a much higher wall. Still, the second base of Mikdash did not have an amatraxin because 6 tefachim of width can only support 30 amos of height, but the second base of Mikdash was taller. The source that it was taller is from the pasuk, Galu yekavod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. The honor of this later house will be greater than that of the first. A Maraim debated its meaning. One said it means bebinyan, in the structure, that it would be taller, and one said it means b'shanim, in years of existence, because the second base of Mikdash stood for 420 years, 10 years longer than the first. Although part of the height could have been built as a wall, and the rest as a parochas, there was a tradition that the divider must either be entirely a wall or a curtain, not a combination of the two. And pointing with you, Rav Chissa said, Lolisto inish bekenishta. A person may not demolish a shul, a debani bekenishta achariti, until he's built another shul to replace it. Some say this is because of pshia, negligence, that a new shul may not be built. And some explain it's because of tsuya, a place for davening in the interim. A nafkamina between these reasons is if there's already another place available to daven. Rav Ashi ruled that even if funds were deposited for building, or even if construction materials were already set aside, we are still concerned they may be sold for funds necessary to redeem captives, and the shul will not be built. The Gemara qualifies Rav Chissa's law, chazibat tiyua. If they see cracks in it, and it may collapse, they may demolish it and then build another. Rav Ashi saw cracks in the shul in Masa Machasya, and he demolished it and brought his own bed there until the new construction was fully completed. Bava ben Buta advised Herod to demolish the base of Mikdash and rebuild it, either because he saw cracks in it or because a king can be relied upon to fulfill his commitment. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Ravasi explained in the Gemara's second version that the partners divided a property, k'she'im ba'din chaluka, which was not subject to legal division, meaning it was too small for either to demand a division, but they agreed to do so. The Gemara asked, Nedru Behu, but let them retract, since a mere verbal agreement to divide the chatzar is not binding. Rav Yochanan explained, Shekanim Yadin, they acquired from each other with a legal kinyan, meaning chalipin. The Gemara objects that it is a kinyan dvarim ba'alma, an acquisition of mere words, meaning an intangible commitment to divide the property, and so it clarifies, B'shekanu miyad meruchos. They acquired from each another the sides of the property which they would respectively own, and this acquisition is binding. Rav Ashi said, Kagon shehalach zeh betok shelo v'hichzik. The cases where this one went into his half of the chatzir and performed a kinyan chazaka, v'zeh betok shelo v'hichzik. And this other one went into his half and performed a kinyan chazaka. Pointing me to the Mishnah taught that a wall of gazis, plain stones, which is 4 amas tall, must be 5 tefachim wide. The Gemara wonders if this is the necessary ratio because the amatraxin, the wall separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kadashim in the first base of Mikdash, was 30 amos high, but only 6 tefachim wide. The Gemara answers that the extra tefach was enough to support a much higher wall. Still, the second base of Mikdash did not have an amatraxin because 6 tefachim of width can only support 30 amos of height, but the second base of Mikdash was taller. The source that it was taller is from the pasuk, Galu yekavod habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. The honor of this later house will be greater than that of the first. A Maraim debated its meaning. One said it means bebinyan, in the structure, that it would be taller, and one said it means b'shanim, in years of existence, because the second base of Mikdash stood for 420 years, 10 years longer than the first. Although part of the height could have been built as a wall, and the rest as a parochas, there was a tradition that the divider must either be entirely a wall or a curtain, not a combination of the two. And pointing with you, Rav Chissa said, Lo lister inish bekenishta. A person may not demolish a shul, ad debani bekenishta achariti, until he's built another shul to replace it. Some say this is because of pshia, negligence, that a new shul may not be built. And some explain it's because of tzuliyah, a place for davening in the interim. A nafkamina between these reasons is if there's already another place available to daven. Rav Ashi ruled that even if funds were deposited for building, or even if construction materials were already set aside, we are still concerned they may be sold for funds necessary to redeem captives, and the shul will not be built. The Gemara qualifies Rav Chissa's law, chazibat yua. If they see cracks in it and it may collapse, they may demolish it and then build another. Rav Ashi saw cracks in the shul in Masa Machasya, and he demolished it and brought his own bed there until the new construction was fully completed. Bava ben Buta advised Herod to demolish the base of Migdash and rebuild it, either because he saw cracks in it or because a king can be relied upon to fulfill his commitment. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Gimel, and our standard Siman is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. When the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraxin in the first base of Migdash, but were told the materials were needed to rebuild the camel driver's shul next door, which was being demolished and rebuilt due to the cracks seen in the building. Once again, in slow motion, when the partners of the camel rental business, camel, that must be on Daf Gimel, gamal. When the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, which reminds us, Rav Ashi explained in the Gemara's second version that the partners divided a property, k'she'im ba din chaluka, which was not subject to legal division, means it was too small for either to demand a division, but they agreed to do so. The Gemara asks, but let them retract since a mere verbal agreement to divide the chatzar is not binding. Rav Ashi said the cases where this one went into his half of the chatzar and performed a Kenyan chazaka, and this one went into his half and performed a Kenyan chazaka. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraxin in the first base of Mikdash, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a wall of gazis, plain stones, which is 4 amas tall, must be 5 tefachim wide. The Gemara wonders if this is the necessary ratio because the Amatraxin, the wall separating the Kaddish from the Kaddish Kadashim in the first base of Mikdash, was 30 amas high, but only 6 tefachim wide. The Gemara answers that the extra tefach was enough to support a much higher wall. So, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan chazak for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraxin in the first base of Mikdash, but were told the materials were needed to rebuild the camel driver's shul next door, which was being demolished and rebuilt due to the cracks seen in the building, which reminds us, Rav Chissa said, Lo lister inish bekenishta, a person may not demolish a shul, ad debani bekenishta achariti, until he has built another shul to replace it. Some say this is because of pshia, negligence, that a new shul may not be built, and some explain it's because of tzuliye, a place for davening in the interim. The Gemara qualifies Rav Chissa's law, chazibat yua. If they see cracks in it and it may collapse, they may demolish it and then build another. So once again, when the partners of the camel rental business divided their lot, making a Kenyan chazaka for the respective sides so they couldn't retract, they considered building a wall like the Amatraxin in the first base of Mikdash, but were told the materials were needed to rebuild the camel driver's shul next door, which was being demolished and rebuilt due to the cracks seen in the building. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Bah Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door. Gabbai, keys? That must run Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Rama asked 3 questions about this fight, one of them being, assuming that they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. So the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident about 2 people living on 2 stories, where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage the property there. Rabbi Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rabbi Chiya Bar Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first holds a mazik harkin gatzas money and nizak. It's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. So the gabbai wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild, which reminds us. The next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapse and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment and he may live in it until the lower owner pays him expenses. Rebuta objects, Av zed dar betok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarko ha'usul schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the same Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. The avid Kichel maker, Kichel, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The avid Kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, which reminds us, Rabban said Habanta beHefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it is a Malchokas Tanaim. A Mishnah states, Shomei Svichei Shviz, those who guard the after Grus HaShmita, to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem are paid from the Trumas Alushka. Rav Yossi says, Harotz Misnadev, who of a Shomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that if so, Ein Boin, Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rav explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he will personally own the after gross. Rav Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the gross when they harvest it. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which reminds us Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, vihizik, and thereby caused damage, patu, he's exempt from paying. Rabbi Shimon taught in a mission regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire that one who follows these requirements is patur from any damage which may occur. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between the gardens, which reminds us. The final mission states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Ramirez says they belong to the higher garden's owner, since we follow the nourishment from the upper garden. Ramirez says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rabbi Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. When the Persian king saw a kite, that must mean on Daf Kuf Yud Tes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were patur from Orla, which reminds us. The Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. In the second braisa discussing Orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or their roots, are subject to Orla because they're considered to be independent growth. Rabbi Yehuda says, mina geza patur, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from Orla because it's considered part of the original tree. Mina shrashi mechai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to Orla. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing up a tree trunk, which were putta from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Ches on a base, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualified this, provided that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. If the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within the reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirion Nimtie, to that beautiful kite, which reminds us, a friend, the scribe of Talmud Reish Lakish, said in Reish Lakish's name that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim. He said, "Apriya nimtiye, or Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon." Daf base. So the simon daf base is a bais, a house. So here goes. The owner won the house's house. That must be on daf base, bais, house. The owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, which reminds us, the opening mission states, Hashutafim shiratzu lasus mechitzu b'chatzur, partners who agreed to make a partition in a courtyard they previously owned jointly, bonus lakosu b'emsa, build the wall in the center with half the wall on each partner's land. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs because he held that Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, which reminds us. The Gemara analyzes the first clause of the mission and explains, my mechitza, what is the mechitza the partners agreed to make? Guda, a wall. This usage is demonstrated from a mishnah. This implies that they are only required to build a wall if they agree to do so. But if one partner wants to mark the border with wooden pegs, he's not compelled to build a wall. Alma Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, we see from here that visual damage by seeing a neighbor's private activities is not considered damage, so he's not required to avoid it. The Gemara asks that perhaps the word mechitza here means pluksa, a division, meaning that by merely agreeing to divide the property, each party must contribute towards building a wall, because Hezek Ria is considered damage. So the owner of one of the houses in a chatzur, who was thrilled when the owner of the other house agreed to divide the chatzur, was shocked when the second owner started to mark the border with mere wooden pegs, because he held that Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek, and explained that the wall their neighbors built between their gardens was lest a neighbor harms it with Ayin Hara, which reminds us, the Gemara asks a series of questions challenging the assertion that Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek and concludes with five exceptions where a wall must be built, one of them being a gina, a garden requires a wall because Rav forbids standing by someone's field which contains a standing crop lest he harm it with Ayin Hara. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss how many malkas one gets for eating a carbon pesach partially raw? That's on daf Kuf Tesvav. Good number two, which daf was one answer given as to why the partners could not retract when they divided a chatzur she'im ba din chaluka was because each one made a kinyan chazaka on his side? That's on daf Gimel and Bab Basra. Good number three, which daf that when a rented upper story partially collapsed, the upper tenant can live on the first floor until the homeowner repairs the second story? That's on daf Kuf Tezayin. Good number four, which daf do we learn five cases where a wall must be built, one of them being an agina, a garden, to protect it from Ayin Hara? That's on daf Beis and Bab Basra. Good number five, which daf do we learn according to Rabbi Shimon, the owner of the higher garden owns whatever he can reach? That's on daf Kufiyot Tes. Good number six, which daf do we have a case of four plaster deteriorating, causing water poured in the upper story to damage the lower story? That's on daf Kufiyot Zayin. Good number seven, which daf do we discuss partners building a wall when dividing their jointly owned chatzer? That's on daf Beis and Bab Basra. Good number eight, which daf do we discuss the height of the amatraksin and differences between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni? That's on daf Gimel and Bab Basra. Good number nine, which daf do the case of one partner marking the border of his wall with wooden pegs, which is a seeming proof that Hezek Ria, Rav Shmei Hezek? That's on daf Beis and Bab Basra. Good. And number 10, which daf do you discuss when one is allowed to demolish a shul in order to build a new one? That's on daf Gimel and Bab Basra. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody. Ram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.